الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، in continuation from yesterday's sitting, as it relates to some benefits we're taking from the Shahr al-Mumti', which is Mumti', beneficial points from Shahr al-Mumti', from Shaykh al-Muthaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala. Yesterday we covered the meaning of Kitab and the meaning of Kitab al-Siyam, the definition of a Siyam linguistically and according to the Shahr. And then we mentioned a few benefits of the wisdom behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making it worship of different types of categories. And those categories were what? Different worship, different types of categories. Badaniya, mahad. Strictly physical. Maliya, mahad. Strictly financial. Murakkab. Naam, jayid. Murakkab, yani meaning both Mali and Badani. And then he went to mention that from those categories, from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Ibad, for the Ibad and the Ibadah, is that some worship you have to restrain from those things that you love. And from some worships you have to give those things that you love. And Allah has made this varied as it relates to the Ibadat, to the worship of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to see the ones who are sincere and will comply to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not going to ask you a question because I was late. But what we're going to do now, as I promised you yesterday, we're going to deal with the issue as it relates to sighting the moon. We said yesterday that there are two ways in order to establish a month generally, but here we're talking more specifically about the Shahr of Ramadan. There are two ways to establish the month. And the first way we said was what? Sighting the moon. And the second one was? If there's obscurity, clouds, it's a cloudy weather and you cannot sight the moon, then you fast. Then you complete 30 days. Okay? Now, regards to this situation here, when there is some type of obscurity, whether it be cloudy or some type of weather that's making us unable to actually see the moon, the scholars differed as to what should the worshipper do in this situation. Should he fast just to make sure, or should he complete 30 days? The scholars differed in about 7 different opinions. So I repeat again. What we're going to do now is go through the opinions of the scholars as it relates to what, ikhwan? Huh? When it's obscure, when you cannot sight the moon, what do you do? Do you fast? Huh? Or do you complete the 30 days? Before we go into that, I want us to just talk about some ahkam at-taklifiyya. So some things that we need to know in order to understand what Sheikh Muthaymin is talking about. Some muqaddimat, some introductory things. And we're going to deal with this, inshallah, for about 10 minutes before we actually go into the difference of opinions as it relates to this issue. But just keep this issue in mind. And that is the five different rulings in worship as to the level of worship or the ruling ahkam as it relates to that worship. The first one is what? Wajib. So write down wajib. Okay? Obligatory. The second one is what? Mustahab or mandub or masnoon. Mustahab, which is preferred, encouraged. The third one is what? Muharrama. Haram. Yani impermissible. And the fourth one is what? Makruh, which is disliked. As for the fifth one, which is a difference of opinion, whether it's part of it, but most of the ulama say it's part of it, and that is what? Mubah, and that is allowed. That is what? Allowed. Now, for each one of these, we're going to deal with the definitions for each. If I were to ask you, what was the definition? What's the definition of wajib? Who can tell me the definition of wajib? Think carefully. English, Arabic, alamat tuhibbun. Who can tell me the definition of wajib? Anwar. If you do it, you get reward. Don't write. If you do it, you get reward. And if you don't do it, you get sin. Now, if you don't do it, you get punished. Okay, anybody else? Are we okay with that? Should we move on? Nimshi? That's not the definition of wajib. That's the ruling of wajib. Now, ma amara bihi ash-shari' ala wajhi al-ilzam. Ma amara bihi ash-shari'u ala wajhi al-ilzam. That's the definition. You're defining it. You're not talking about what it does. You're defining it. And that is that which the Shari, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, have commanded. This is what wajib is, obligatory. That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have commanded, okay, by ways of compulsion. Ma amara bihi ash-shari'u, okay, ala wajhi al-ilzam. So that which the Shari, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have commanded by ways of what? Compulsion. And it's compulsory. Is what? Compulsory. That's the definition of wajib. That's the definition of wajib. Now, what's the ruling of wajib? What does it necessitate? That's what necessitates, that definition or that statement that you mentioned is what necessitates a wajib. Who can repeat it again? That's what? Ma yuthabu fa'iluhu imtithalan wa yu'aqibu tarikuhu. Ma yuthabu fa'iluhu, don't write. Ma yuthabu fa'iluhu imtithalan wa yu'aqib tarikuhu. This translation of this definition here is that which the one who actually does that wajib, that act, he gets reward for. He gets what? Reward for? By complying. Complying to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? And he deserves to be punished. That definition, the ulama say, some of the ulama say is incorrect. Why? Because it agrees with the aqeed of the Khawarij. So the correct definition is why we don't say he deserves, okay? No, sorry, we say he deserves to be punished. In that definition, it says he will get punished. Whereas the correct definition is, ma yuthabu fa'iluhu imtithalan wa yastahiqu tarikuhu al-iqab. And that's in order to eliminate the aqeed of the Khawarij. And that is that
The one who does it gets a reward, and the one that doesn't do it deserves to get punished. It's up to Allah. We don't say he will get punished. Because that's the aqid of the who? The Khawarij. So the ulama of Usul have added that point there, which clarifies and shows the link between the importance of having good aqidah in all types of funoon, having correct aqidah and belief in all types of sciences, in the ilm of hadith or usul and so forth. Okay, that's wajib. Who can repeat the definition of wajib? What's the definition of wajib? That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded by ways of what? Compulsion. Yani a must do. A what? A must do. Tayyib. And what's the hukum? What's the ruling? And what does it necessitate? What are the prerequisites of this wajib? If you do it, you get reward for it by complying and obeying. And if you don't do it, you deserved. You deserve to what? Or he deserves to be punished. Okay. Tayyib. Mustahab. Based upon this, you can define everything else, ikhwan. If you think carefully, think about the partitions and these definitions that we've made, you can do the rest now. I don't need to do it for you. So we said, remember, that which is obligatory is that which Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded by means of what? Compulsion. Okay, what is the definition of mustahab then? Mustahab meaning preferred. Meaning what? Preferred. What's the definition of it? Remember, just use the same definition that we mentioned. Okay, first of all, is it a command or not? It's a command, yes? Fine. So it's a command by who? So it's a command by Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By means of compulsion or not? By means of compulsion. By other than compulsion, yani it's not compulsory. So that's the only difference. The only difference is that it's not compulsory. Same definition as wajib. Okay, so mustahab, the definition of it, is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, have commanded, ala wajh ghayr al-ilzam, or la ala wajh al-ilzam, some definitions. So it's not compulsory. It's not what? Compulsory. Okay, what's the hukum, what's the ruling, or that which something that's preferred necessitates? Based upon the definition, ikhwan, work your brains. Father Sheikhana. If you do an action, that if you do it, you get rewarded for obeying, complying. Naam. And if you don't do it, you don't get punished. Naam. So the mustahab, though, to prefer the definition, or that which it necessitates, is that the person, he gets a reward for doing the action, but he doesn't get punished for leaving the action. Okay. Haram. Remember, for wajib we say command. So haram is going to be what? Prohibits. ما نهى عنه الشارع على وجه على وجه الإلزام بتركي. And that is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have prohibited to leave by ways of what? Compulsion. That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have prohibited from doing, okay, by means of what? Compulsion. Okay, tayyib. Now haram, what is the prerequisites of haram? What does it do? Naam. Fa'iluhu yastahiqu al-iqab. The one that does it, he deserves to be punished. Tahta mashiatillah. Allah may punish him or Allah may forgive him. But what we say is that the one that does it, okay, he deserves, because he disobeyed Allah, he deserves it. But whether he's actually going to get punished or not, that's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, refuting the manhaj of who? The Khawarij. Tayyib. Watarikuhu, and the one that leaves it, he gets what? Reward. The one who leaves the haram, he gets reward for leaving it. That's from the mercy and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the definition and the prerequisites of al-haram. Mashi? Okay. The other one is what? Makruh. Okay, who can define that now based upon the definitions we've done before? Haram is that which is prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messenger. By mean to, yani to leave. By means of what? Compulsion. Okay, makruh. That's that which is disliked. That which is prohibited by Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but not by means of compulsion. Ahsant. Mumtaz. And the prerequisites of makruh is what? The prerequisites, yani that which is based on. The what comes out of it? What's the ruling that comes out of makruh? You don't get punished for doing it, but you get reward for leaving it. Okay? Mashi? Man la yu'aqibu tariq fa'iluhu wa yuthabu tariqu. Yuthabu tariqu. The one that doesn't get punished for doing it, but he gets reward for leaving it. Okay. Mubah? Now, mubah, which is allowed. Remember, we've got two different sections for each of the definitions or statements that we made. As for the definition, we said command, prohibition, and then we said punished, reward. Yes? So regarding that one, Now, there is no command or prohibition about it, and there's no punishment or reward regarding it. Okay? Now, that's for the ruling based upon al-mubah. But Shaykh Muthaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his Ilm al-Usul, he adds fil asl. Yani in its origin. But of course, if you, for example, eating and drinking, is that allowed or is it mustahab or what? What is it? The asl, the origin. It's mubah. But it can become wajib. It can become wajib. And it can become mustahab. And of course, it can become haram and it can become makruh. But in its origin, there is no reward and there's no punishment relating to it. Mashi? But of course, if one, for example, is dying of hunger and he has food right next to him, it is obligatory for him to eat it. And it is a sin for him to leave it. Yani he deserves to be punished. Okay? If there's food that's haram, and he eats it, is what? Or he eats during the day, the daytime in Ramadan, and he's not a traveler. The asl of food is that it's halal, but in that situation is what? Haram. So you have to add at the end of it, in its origin. In its what? Origin. In its asl. So remember this ahkam as we go through the aqwal that Shaykh Muthaymin, rahmatullahi alayhi, is going to mention. And the issue is, as we mentioned, is regarding to when we cannot see the crescent or moon, we can't sight the moon because of some type of obscurity or something that's covered the vision, so we can't see whether the month begins. What do we do? Do we fast that day or do we wait and let the month be 30 days and then we fast the next day after that? Shaykh Ibn Thaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, Naam, the qawl al-awwal, the first opinion is yajibu sawma. The first opinion is that it's obligatory to fast on that day. And it's called Yawm al-Shak, that day of doubt. Whether you don't know whether it's Ramadan or you don't know whether it's what? Sha'ban. You don't know whether it's still Sha'ban or the Ramadan has begun. Some of the scholars have said that it's obligatory to fast that day, ihtiyatan, just in case. That's the first opinion. So the Shaykh said, rahmahullah ta'ala, that their obligation here is based upon precautionary measures. It's based upon precautionary measures. And just in case, it's obligatory for you to fast. And this is the most common method, madhab of Imam Ahmed. This is the most common madhab of Imam Ahmed. And they use some narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Knowledge. They use some actions of the companions to prove this. What they say is that there's an athar of Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he used to fast on those days, on the days of doubt. They said that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, وعنهما, he used to fast on that day. So because Abdullah ibn Umar fasted on that day, then they're saying that it's obligatory for one to fast. It's obligatory for one to fast. Sheikh Muthaymin says, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the answer to this evidence that they bring is that he's doing it out of istihbab. He's not saying that it's obligatory. He's not saying it's what? Obligatory. He's doing it on his own accord, yani that is preferred to him. Radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. The second opinion, qawl al-thani, they say that it's haram to fast on that day. That yawm al-shek, that day when it's doubt. That it's haram to fast on that day. And they bring the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا تُقَدِّمُ رَمَضَانَ بِصَوْمٍ يَوْمٍ أَوْ يَوْمَيْنِ إِلَّا رَجُلٌ كَانَ يَسُومُ صَوْمًا فَلْيَسُمْ. Which is in Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Abu Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not perceive Ramadan. Do not proceed Ramadan with a fast, yani one day or 2 days before. Okay, do not proceed Ramadan with a fast, yani a day before or 2 days before. Except, no one should do this except for a man who usually fasts. Like for example, the fast of Dawood. Fast one day, break fast another day. If it falls like that, and it's your normal practice to fast every other day, then you can do and continue it. But as for the one that doesn't do these extra ibadat and fasting and so forth, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you shouldn't fast on that day. So the ulama who have this second opinion, they say it's haram. It's what? It's haram. And they have another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet ﷺ says, شَحْرُ تِسْعُ وَإِشْرُونَ لَيْلًا, that a month is 29 nights. فَلَتَسُومُ حَتَّ تَرَوْ, and don't fast until you see the crescent. And don't fast until you see the crescent. فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَأَكْمِلُوا الْإِدَّةُ ثَلَاثِينَ فَأَكْمِلُوا الْإِدَّةَ ثَلَاثِينَ. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, do not fast until you see it. And if there's any obscurity, then compare. Then what? Complete 30 days. Sheikh Muthaymin says, Akmilu is what? Is a what? An Amr. And what did we say was the definition of wajib? That which Allah's Akmilu is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sorry, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akmilu is a command from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the origin of command is obligation. And the origin of command in the ilm of usul is obligation. So they say that based upon this, it's not permissible in those situations when it's cloudy and it's obscure for anyone to fast, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us to complete 30 days if we're in that situation. And another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they say, halaka mutanatti'un. Halaka al-mutanatti'un. And Allah, the extremists are destroyed. The extremists are what? Destroyed. Any going above bounds. Meaning that they're saying that the people who say that you should fast just in case, this is taking it too far. This is taking it too far. So this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, halaka al-mutanatti'un, those who are too extreme and too rigid are destroyed. Now, that hadith, salamukum Allah, is in Bukhari as well. And Naam, same narrator. It's in Bukhari with the same narrator, Abu Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Tayyib, the third opinion. قول الثالث أن صومه مستحب. Now we're practically applying the definitions that we dealt with in the beginning. Mashi? أن صومه مستحب. This is the second or third opinion. وليس بواجب. And that he can fast, and it's preferred to fast, and it's not obligatory. What do you think they use as evidence? Come on, let's see if you're with me. They said that it's not obligatory to fast, but it's preferred to fast. What did they use as evidence? Naam, the action of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. They used that as evidence that say that it's preferred to fast. They used that as evidence to say that it's preferred to fast. The fourth opinion. The fourth opinion, أن صومه مكروه وليس بحرام. And Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions this in Zad al-Mu'ad, where the opinion is that it's disliked to fast and it's not haram. It's disliked to fast and it's not haram. The fifth opinion, they say, is أن صومه مباح. They say that fasting on that day is allowed. That fasting on that day is allowed. وليس بواجب ولا مكروه ولا مستحب. It's not obligatory. It's not it's not disliked and it's not preferred. Rather, it's just allowed. There's no reward extra for it and so forth. Okay. قول السادس العمل بعادة غالبية فإذا مضى شهران كاملان فالثالث ناقص وإذا مضى شهران ناقصان فالثالث كامل فإذا كان شهران رجب وشعبان ناقصين فرمضان كامل وإذا كان رجب وجماد الثاني ناقصين فشعبان كامل. نعم. So what they're saying is basically that if there comes 2 months, okay, that are 29, for example, okay, Malish, Nam. If there comes 2 months, sorry, that are 30, Kamilain, they're 30 days in that month. If 2 months have 30 days, this is the sixth opinion. They say then the third month will be 29. So therefore, for example, if Rajab and Sha'ban was 29, therefore Ramadan will be what? 30. And if Rajab and Jamadi Thani were 29, then Sha'ban is what? 30. Now, that's their opinion. That's their what? Opinion. Basically, looking at the state of order and patterns and working with patterns that have been happening throughout the last 2 or 3 months. That's the sixth opinion. The seventh opinion and final opinion. And the nas tab'un lil imam. فإن صام الإمام صاموا وإن أفطر أفطروا لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الفطر يوم يفطر الناس والأضحى يوم يضحي الناس. And that's the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is in Tirmidhi. Which is in what? Tirmidhi upon Aisha رضي الله عنها, where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that if the Imam, that fast, breaking fast is the day that everyone breaks fast. Okay, and slaughtering is the day that everyone slaughters. So they're saying that the seventh opinion are saying that basically if the imam, if the khalifa, if he fasts, then you have to, that's when you fast. And if he breaks, then that's when you break. These are the seven opinions. These are the seven different opinions. Can we go through them one by one? The first opinion. Okay. Naam, the first opinion, yajib as-sawm, is obligatory to fast. And they use as proof what? Why do they say it's obligatory? Just in case. For precautionary reasons. Just in case, so you don't miss Ramadan, just in case. And they use the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar. Second opinion, it's haram. The second opinion is haram. Why do they say it's haram? Because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said the extremists will be destroyed. And don't proceed لا تقدم Ramadan. Don't proceed Ramadan with a day or 2 days, except for someone who's what? Fasts regularly. It's his normal, is his normality that he fasts in those days, then he can fast. But if it's not his normality, then he shouldn't fast. And you should complete what? Akmilu al-iddata 30. Complete 30 days. And they say that this is shows obligation. How? Akmilu is a what? Command. Which necessitates obligation. Taib, the third opinion. It's mustahab. And obviously they use the author of Abdullah ibn Umar. The fourth opinion, makruh. The fifth opinion, mubah. The sixth opinion, if two consecutive months end with 30, now the third one would have to be 29. And if it's 2 or 30, then the third is 29. Okay? So they're dealing with patterns. The seventh opinion, You follow the Imam. Now, which opinion is the Hanbali opinion? The first one is the Hanbali opinion. Sheikh Muthaymin's opinion now. Sheikh Muthaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that, na'am, he said, well, asah hadhi al-aqwal huwa at-tahrim. Sheikh Muthaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said the most correct opinion from these statements, these opinions, is that it's haram. ولكن استثناء ولكن إذا ثبت عند الإمام وجوب الصوم هذا اليوم وأمر الناس بصومه فإنه لا ينابذ ويحصل عدم المنابذة بأن لا يظهر الإنسان فطره وإنما يفطر أو يفطر سرا. Sheikh Muthaymin, he says, but if the Imam, يعني it's haram, his opinion is that it's haram to fast on that day of doubt, but if the Imam, okay, says that we should fast, then you should break your fast in secret. You should eat in what? Secret. So you don't oppose openly the Imam. Look how the manhaj of the Salaf comes into this. Even though the opinion that's correct is that it's haram to fast on that day, Sheikh Muthaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala, a Salafi. Sheikh Muthaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says what? Don't fast. But eat in what? In secret. So it doesn't look like you're opposing the ruler. And this is from the fiqh of Sheikh Muthaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala. So that's the first benefit, all of that. The second benefit now, or the third benefit, the first benefit of the Ahkam al-Khamsa, the second benefit of the different opinions as it relates to the Yawmu Shek, the doubtful day. And the third benefit is an evidence that Sheikh Muthaymin does not blind follow the Hanbali madhab. This is evidence that Sheikh Muthaymin does not follow the madhab of the Hanabila blindly. Why? Because the madhab of the Hanabila is what? That is obligatory to what? Fast. And Sheikh Muthaymin says it's haram. So these, against these people who like to speak ill of the ulama of Saudiya, for example, saying that they're all blind followers of Imam Ahmed and Hanabila and so forth. This is a lie. This is ta'an. Wa alamata ahl bidah al-waqiya fi ahl athar. And the signs of the people of innovation is speaking ill of the people of narrations, the people of athar, the people of the sunnah, trying to belittle the ulama in the eyes of the people in order to raise yourself. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Those who fear Allah from His slaves are the ulama. They're not going to blind follow the ulama of the sunnah. They follow the hujjah. If there's a proof that opposes the statement of anybody, they will take the proof. They will take the proof. Now, fourth benefit. In sighting the moon, it's a condition that the person who sights it is trustworthy. It's a condition that the person who sights the moon is what? Trustworthy. He's adil. He's adil. And adil here, Sheikh Muthaymin says, wal murad bihi man qama bil wajibat wa lam yaf'al kabira wa lam yasir ala saghira. He said the trustworthy individual, who's the one who sighting will be accepted, is the individual who establishes the obligatory things that Allah has obligated upon him. And he does not do the great sins or the major sins. And he's not persistent in the small sins. Meaning he's not perfect. He's not what? Perfect. But he's not persistent in the what? Small sins. This is the individual whose narration as it relates to witnessing the crescent or the moon is what? Accepted. Benefit number six. Sorry? Five. Benefit number five. Benefit number five. Sheikh Muthaymin mentions that the ulama say another condition for the one who's sighting the moon is that he must have good sight. That he must have what? Good sight. The Sheikh says, فَإِنْ كَانَ ضَعِيفُ الْبَصَرِ لَمْ تُقْبَلْ شَهَادَتُهُ. If he has weak sight, if he's known to have weak sight or weak vision, then, or nearly blind or he has a weak eyesight, then his testimony or witness that he's of actually seeing the moon is not accepted. Not because he's not fiqh or trustworthy. It's not because he's not trustworthy, so he may say he's seen the moon, but he hasn't really seen it. He's not lying. He's just made an error because of his weakness of sight. Because of his weakness of sight. Dave, benefit number six. The ulama differed as it relates to whether it has to be a man who witnesses the moon or not. Some of the ulama, like Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, in the madhab of Imam Shafi'i, because the difference within the statements of Imam Shafi'i and the madhab of Imam Shafi'i. The madhab of Imam Shafi'i usually also pertains those who came after Imam Shafi'i. From the madhab of Imam Shafi'i is that the testimony or the witness of a woman inciting the crescent is not accepted. It's not accepted. Shaykh Ibn Thaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, is of the opinion that it is accepted. Madhab. So if I say it's the madhab of the Hanabila, it doesn't necessarily mean it's Imam Ahmed. It could be from those people who followed originally the madhab of Imam Ahmed, but from that they've extrapolated their own opinions as it relates to any type of ruling. Likewise here, madhab of a Shafi'iyya. But if they say it's Imam Ahmed in the books of fiqh, if they say that is Imam Ahmed's statement, they say qawlu Imam Ahmed. Qawlu al-awwal or qawlu thani. His first statement or his later statement of Imam Ahmed. When you read the books of fiqh. Okay, so here's the madhab of Shafi'i, is that the female one witness that sees the moon is not accepted. Okay, Sheikh Muthaymin says that the correct opinion is that it is accepted. It is accepted. Why? Because the narration of a woman is accepted in the ilm hadith. And shows you Sheikh Muthaymin, muhaddith as well, faqih wa muhaddith. In the ilm hadith, in the riwayah, in narrators, in the asanid, in the books of a hadith, it's not a condition that you have to be a man. And verily what the woman who cites the crescent is doing is what? Narrating what she saw. If she's trustworthy, she's known, she's not a liar, fabricates, she's got good vision, then her witness or testimony of citing the moon is what? Accepted. It's accepted. Now, and the Sheikh says that's because we're dealing with it as we're dealing with the narrations in the isnad, in the chains. So we deal with men the same as we deal with what? Women in this aspect. In this aspect. How are we doing? Okay. Tayyib. Benefit number 7. Or 8. 7. I've got 6 here. No, I've got 7. I've got 6 here, so it's my fault. Benefit number 7. Benefit number 7. وَيُلْزِمُ الصَّوْمُ لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ مُكَلِّفٍ قَادِرٍ. Now who, this chapter here, or this section here we're dealing with, who is it obligatory upon to fast? Who is it obligatory upon to fast? Who falls under the wujub, the definition of wajib, as we mentioned? Who falls under it, the definition or the prerequisites of obligation as it relates to fasting? The Shaykh says, المسلم مكلف القادر. The person who is obligatory to fast is a Muslim as opposed to a kafir. Okay? A Muslim as opposed to kafir. A mukallif as opposed to somebody who's insane. A mukallif is somebody who, the best translation I can give, is somebody who is now incumbent upon him to do actions of ibadah. It's upon him to do actions of ibadah. A mukallif, meaning that he's reached the age. Okay, where the pen is not lifted. The pen is not lifted. And he's not what? Insane. That's the mukallif. That's the mukallif. And that's why the wajib, the mustahab, and the haram, and the makruh, and the mubah are called ahkam taklifiyah. Because it falls under those people who it's upon them to do certain types of worship. So these are the three things: Muslim, mukallif, and qadir, and he's able. So he's Muslim, it's upon him to do that type of worship, meaning that he's not insane and he's reached an age, bulugh, past puberty, and he's Qadir. And we'll leave it at that, inshallah ta'ala. I'm not fasting this Ramadan and need to feed the miskeen person for each day. Who is classed as a miskeen. As for feeding the miskeen, you have two different methods of feeding the miskeen. You can either feed him day by day for the amount of days that you've missed your fast, or you can pick a day and pick a number of people, misakeen. Like, for example, if you've not fasted 15 days, then you can pick one day and feed 15 people for that one day. Or you can feed one person per 15 days. The first one is the second one is the fi'l of Anas ibn Malik. That's what he done. And he waited to the end, and one day he fed the amount that he owed. For example, he owed 20 days, he fed 20 people that day. Or you can do it day by day. And as for who's miskeen, this is ma'ruf. And it has to be Muslim now. Al-Aqal, afdal, that is a Muslim.